And I invite you to turn with me to the passage we read earlier in the service. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And this evening I want to draw your attention to one particular verse that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this evening. And it is verse 21. Verse 21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." Whenever you turn to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Whenever you turn to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left. Well, firstly, this evening, I would like to just draw your attention to the background and the context of this passage. And the book of Isaiah is a vision, meaning a revelation from God, which we see in chapter 1, verse 1. It says that the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos. The vision he had was concerning Judah and Jerusalem, as they were a sinful nation. They were laden in iniquity. A sea of evildoers. Children that are corruptors. And so Isaiah was raised up by God to declare judgment and salvation. To call them back to the one true and living God. And he prophesied in the days of four kings in Judah. Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And it was lasting over a period of somewhat 40 years. And it was in a time period when Israel had been divided into two kingdoms. Israel in the north and Judah in the south. But Isaiah mostly ministered to the south. And during the reign of Hezekiah, Assyria became a threat to Judah in the south. And they had already wiped out the ten northern tribes of Israel, which led Judah to panic. It led them not to trust in God Almighty. For them, the temptation came to make alliances with another nation. And that nation was Egypt. And what did this show? It showed their trust was upon man. And all what man could bring and give. They turned away from God's counsel and commands and turned to Egypt for help because they were threatened by the Assyrians. But what about Isaiah? Well, Isaiah was the spokesman of God and he rebukes them for their reliance upon Egypt and how faithless they have been, but also speaks to them of God's faithfulness despite all their wickedness. You see, you have a people who is faithless, and then you have God who is faithful. And tonight, dear friends, you may feel as though you need guidance. You need leading. And to be shown by the Lord the way that you must take. And that many of us have different situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in. Maybe summer job change, finding a new church, whether the Lord is calling me or you to a particular work. Maybe tonight to an interview who are not Christians, and your pathway is off this world. But you have that exercise in your heart that you're going the wrong way. and you desire that you want to go the right way. Well, this word may be for you this night. This is the way, walk ye in it. And I would like this evening to look at this verse under three headings, which are a word behind you, a way before you, and a walk in front of you. And we come to heading one, the word behind you. The word behind you. The text reads, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying. Firstly, I want us to notice in the text that this is referring to a people. The word you, your, and you, obviously refer to a people. And in its immediate context, it refers to a people who have experienced a time of great distress in the midst of great rebellion against God Almighty. They are a people who have been disobedient to the Lord's ways, but repentance has been given to those who are God's people, to those who the Lord has waited to be gracious to and to have mercy on. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are those who wait for him. How have they waited upon a God who waits to be gracious to them? Well, verse 19 reads, it says, you shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. And when he hears it, he will answer you. The implication is, they have been a people or individuals who have been weeping. Weeping in the midst of waiting as they turn to trust the Lord again and wait for God to be gracious in his perfect time and in his perfect way as they suffered invasion and the enemy besieging the city. Well, in verse 20 it reads, and though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. God had given them the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Why? Why would God permit that to a people? Well, it was to draw them back. To draw them back to the one true and living God. Because of their disobedience, they had not obeyed the very voice of the Lord. The teachers, the prophets, weren't going to be moved into a corner anymore. God's people would have their eyes and their hearts open to the sound of God's messengers. But what of their disobedience? And we must mention it tonight. What have they done? How have they sinned? Well, in the start of chapter 30, verse 1, we read, didn't we, that it says, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me. Who devise plans, but not of my spirit. And they add sin to sin. Well, there are people who took counsel. But of whom did they take counsel? The Lord says, but not of me. They took counsel from others. But the Lord God was disregarded in their current situation. They devised plans. but not of my spirit, he says. We can make plans, can't we? There's nothing essentially wrong with making plans. We make plans every day. But they've devised plans while totally leaving God out of the picture. What else does the scripture say? Verse 2. What have they done? They've walked down to Egypt. And have not asked for my advice. To strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. But they've gone down to Egypt with their wealth to entice Egypt to help them against the Syrians. They've removed themselves from trusting the Lord and now they're on headlong course seeking advice from Egypt. What else does the text say? Verse 9, that this is a rebellious people. They're liars. Lying children. Children who will not hear the law of the Lord. It gets worse. Who say to the seers, do not see. And to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Serious business, isn't it? When you echo that kind of language before the Lord and before his messengers. What they wanted false prophets and a false message. They desired lies, and in the process, they forsook the truth of God. And he says, speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. They just want to know smooth things. They don't want to know the truth. They just want the smooth things. Things that don't bring any conviction. They want the fluffy things. They want things just to ease the conscience. You hear this kind of this talk in church today, don't you? Speak to us smooth things. Don't preach on hell. Or how hot it is. Don't preach on the wrath of God. Don't preach on the holiness of God. We just want to know the love of God. And yet the very holiness of God is the very qualifier of all of his other attributes. And yet we don't want to know anything about the holiness of God. And the implication that it brings to the Christian, be ye holy for I am holy. Others say, oh, if you're preaching through a book, can you just miss that bit out? I don't think we need to hear about that, they say. But in fact, exactly what you need to hear. I know of a man who went to preach in a church, I can't remember where it was, it doesn't matter. And they were preaching through a series through one of the Gospels. And the next slot came for the next passage. And they said, can you preach this passage for us when you come? And he said, yes, absolutely fine. I will do that. But can you miss that section out? Can you miss that section out? And do you know what it was? Go to his people and say, hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears have hard hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn, so that I should hear them. Don't preach on that, we don't want to hear that. And this is in the church today. They don't want to know the truth. They forsake truth and they want to lie. Speak to us smooth things. Don't talk about sin. Give us what we want to hear. Well, this is the condition of the people. I remember one man speaking to me, and he said to me, he said, I don't like that man who comes to preach to us. And I said, well, why? He said, because he's so truthful. This is the condition, my friends. This is the condition of many in the church today. We devise plans against the word of God and his will. We suppress being led and being guided by the Spirit, and against what he has already revealed in Holy Scripture, and how we should live and function as a church. We reject the Lord's counsel and seek and put our trust in men and ourselves, in the twisted things of this world, in the worldly wisdom as a quick fix. How many churches have gone down to Egypt and use worldly wisdom to try and gather more people into the local assembly? Many. Many. This was the condition. And maybe in your hearts, you have plans. And you have got this tunnel vision that my way is the right way, and nothing is going to stop me. And on your way, you're walking down to Egypt, and you've not even asked God for his advice or taking counsel of him. This is possible for a Christian to do that. You're using your feelings and your own imagination to guide you and to lead you. And in the process, what you have done in your mind and heart is to say in verse 11, get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. This was the condition. They were children who will not hear the law of the Lord and were faithless. And how many of us are leaning on our own understanding tonight? Who are you putting your trust in tonight? Are you going down to Egypt in your own personal lives? Trusting someone or something other than the Lord Jesus Christ? What does your Egypt look like for you? What is it that you're putting your trust in? You may have rejected the Lord. You don't like to hear what he may have to say about that situation or circumstance, surely. And so you seek other help. But the real help, dear brothers and sisters, it can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this may be a word for you tonight. And what is absolutely remarkable to me in this passage, as I came to this passage, is that it's God's grace. God's grace despite the people's unfaithfulness, despite all their sin against him. And he says to them in the midst of their repentance and turning to trust the Lord as they wait for him, as they wait for him to appear, to guide them, to lead them in the path of righteousness. He says, your ears shall hear a word behind you. And it's a call, isn't it? It's a call. And as I read these words, the words behind you struck me. Why does Isaiah include the word behind? Because it's important, it's in Scripture. Well, it may mean because the people had turned their backs against God, and have walked away from him according to their own desires, they will hear a word behind them calling them to the correct pathway. They have gone off course, they have gone in their own imagination, and the grace of God comes and he says, your ears shall hear a word behind you. What a blessing that the Lord doesn't leave us in our own ways. And the picture here we can draw from is a shepherd. A shepherd, dear friends, leads his sheep. He leads from the front, predominantly. But sometimes the shepherd, he has to come alongside them and help them. But also he may have to lead them from behind. And especially if a sheep has gone astray. Or a sheep has backslidden from the pathway. And the shepherd comes behind them. And he guides the sheep back onto that pathway. And he hurries them from the danger that could be in the midst of them. I remember I was working on a job, as you know, I'm in the building trade in the week, and I was working down in the valley, and I was elevated a little bit on some decking, and across the fence there was a farmer in a field, and he had turned up in his truck, and the sheep were in the field, and obviously he needed to get the sheep out of the field. And there he would send his sheepdog and himself to gather the sheep up onto the hill to his truck. But there was always a few sheep that were left. Maybe they preferred the green grass down there. Who knows? But they were wayward in wavering around in the field, not knowing where they should be going, not following the shepherd, as it were. It's gone astray. So the shepherd had to come down into the valley, find those lost sheep, and he had to get behind them and usher them up the hill to the truck. This is what this is picturing. The great shepherd of the sheep. He comes to his children and gives them a word that is behind. The ears shall hear a word, and that word is the word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a word that you will be able to understand. No longer are you hearers that don't understand and are controlled by your own imagination, but by the word of God, summoned by his gracious spirit, so it affects your will to heed, to follow. And so how may you hear, dear friends? How may you hear? May you hear the word of God through the preaching and teaching of it, and the reading of it. Your teachers will not be moved in a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. It's a word that will affect your conscience. So much so, it will control your very intellect, your affections and your volition, your will. Remember when Jesus called the disciples? It was a simple word, wasn't it? Well, in fact, it was two. But it carried much weight. But he said to them, he said, follow me. Follow me. And they did. They left all to follow Christ. What did Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I remember when I was on the wrong path, as it were. I was walking away, probably running actually, running away from my Christian upbringing and going further into the things of the world until the Word of God cut me down. I knew nothing of it before. I spent 22 years in church and I heard a thing. But then one day, it came at a time not here by the gracious work of the Spirit of God working in my heart. There was a word behind me. What was the word though? What was the word? And we will see secondly, the way before you. The way before you. Your eyes, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Well, for our second point tonight, I would like to draw your attention to the words, this is the way. This is the way. It's a way before you, in the singular. There's only one way. There are not multiple ways, dear friends. The world will tell you there are multiple ways to heaven. That is a lie. There is only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is through repenting and trusting upon the finished work of Christ. It is only through Him where we can gain access before our holy God. It is only through the very righteousness of Christ where we will be reconciled to our holy God. And yet, there are many pathways. But many pathways, dear friends, lead to hell. They lead to destruction. But it's a way before you. Way speaks of a pathway. A course of direction of duty, we could say. The word behind you is a way of correct direction. Have you ever been walking at some kind of event and you parked your car in the middle of a field and you make your way to the entrance to the event, but you don't know what direction to take because there's fields upon fields and you just parked your car and there's hundreds there and you don't know which direction to take, but suddenly you see someone with a sign that says, this way. This is the way. And it gives you clear direction to the destination. And it's the same here for us. God is saying, this is the way that you ought to go. And by implication, they have been on a different way. They've been on a pathway that is against God's revealed will, as we've obviously discussed before. They have been on a pathway of deception, trusting upon what the world offers and how the world tells you what you should believe and strive for. And it is thought that Hezekiah was told by his advisors that going down to Egypt was the best course of action for help. And that's where we need to be careful, isn't it? Trusting upon man's advice that takes us away from God will lead to heartache. What is the way before you? What did Jesus say? I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Early Christians were known as the One. See that in the book of Acts, don't you? Multiple times in the book of Acts, describes believers in Christ as the way. And the way is Christ. He came into this world to redeem his people. And the way is Christ as he taught the multitudes. As he taught divine truth. And as he came, he went back to one primary direction, and that was to go to the cross. And to die for his people. For their sin. That he would reconcile man to our holy God through his sacrificial death upon the cross. And the way is, dear friend, is to believe upon him and to trust upon the One, and trust upon the finished work of Christ. As he died and suffered upon the cross and rose from the grave, defeating sin, death and hell, so that he would set free. Set us free from the power of sin, and that we would escape the very wrath of God in hell that we so deserve. And what pathway are you on this evening? The pathway of the wicked man that leads to destruction, or the pathway of the blessed man that leads to life? What are you building your life upon? Are you building upon the sinking sand of this world? Or are you building a life upon the rock, upon the solid foundation of Christ? Oh, that you would hear the word of God. This is the way. This is the way, dear friend. Christ is the way. Life can be found in Christ. And to trust upon him, and to believe upon him, for every course of life, for eternity. Why would you want to trust in anyone? No one else can provide you salvation. No one else can take away all your sin. No one else can give you a clear conscience. No one else can take your guilt away. No one else can reconcile you to a holy God. He is the only way, the Son of God, slain, pierced. If you come and believe upon him. Oh, time is running. My third point is the walk in front of you. The walk in front of you. Your eyes shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left. Well, we have seen the word behind you, and the way before you. And now we come to the walk in front of you, and the walk in front of you is in Christ's way. With the direction and instruction that has been set before us, this is the way. Now comes the imperative command. Walk in it. Walk in it. To walk in it means to follow. To follow in the way. To follow the way of Christ. To walk as you are led by him and guided by him in his holy word and by the Holy Spirit. To be obedient to his ways and his direction, and to be submissive to his will for your life. no longer walking according to your own desires and the sinful passions and the very elementary principles of the world, but unto Christ you shall walk. Christ's will becomes your will. Maybe you've heard of the way behind you, but now you need to walk in it by faith. And maybe it's a call to come to Christ and to seek Him for forgiveness, to have all your sins washed away. Or maybe tonight, dear brother and sister, this word is for you, for your journey with the Lord. For your journey with the Lord. You find yourself in need. And your own personal case before the Lord is one of a felt need for Him to lead you, to guide you for the future. Events have taken place within your own life, and you have a way before you that is unknown. And the desire in your heart, the ache of your heart is, I need guidance, Lord. That could be one of your prayers. I need guidance, Lord. Lead me, O Lord. And you might find yourselves at a crossroads, as it were, in life. And there are many pathways, roads that you could go. Advice has been given. Many suggestions offered. But there's only one that is right. And it's the way of Christ. Are you listening to Him? Are you being led by His word? And by the Holy Spirit on the particular subject that concerns you tonight. You may have something very particular upon your conscience, upon your heart tonight. And you feel that you need the Lord to lead you, to guide you. And you should be asking the question, what does the Word of God command me to do? How does the Word of God guide me in this situation? You ought to think biblically, dear friend. What does the Bible say about my situation? He has given us His divine revelation. 66 books of the canon of Scripture to guide and lead His people into truth on the pathway of life. The tendency for me and you is not to wait upon Him, it's to rush headlong, and we find ourselves conducting ourselves not according to His word and His leading. We must think biblically, dear friends. If I've got a problem in the marriage, what do I go to? I go to the Word of God. The Word of God teaches me all about marriage. There could be anything upon the matter. Whenever you turn to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left, it will mean that when you may be in danger, you may be in danger of making a wrong decision in your life, and you're wavering between two opinions and tempted to stray from the narrow way. Divine guidance will come and will show you the correct way. This is the way. Walk in it. And this is a Christian experience, isn't it? Sometimes when we go through trouble, when we go through many situations and circumstances that are before us. And this can come into a perfect time in our lives. And the Lord sheds light upon our situation and says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Maybe you've backslidden into sin and have gone off course in some sort of way. And you know you must return to your God. And in your pursuit tonight, you have heard the words, this is the way. walking in it. What will you do? What will you do? Will you walk in the ways of God Almighty? Because there's blessing in the obedience of following God. Yes, the Christian will experience many, many stumbling blocks and problems along the way. And the way may be hard. The way may be difficult. In fact, it may even be agonizing upon the soul. And you feel you need guidance. And he says, this is the way you walk you here. Christ, didn't he, followed the will of the Father. The way for Christ was to die upon the cross for us. And there he became obedient. He was obedient. Christ, who knew no sin. And he went to the cross and there he died for us. So that we would be granted forgiveness and put on the way, on the narrow pathway that leads to life. So, dear brothers and sisters, I leave you with this word. A word behind you, a way before you, a walk in front of you. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Amen.